Well, this morning is all about our youth. It's about youth recognition and commending all those who are growing up in the church and our gratitude for them. And so I wanted to take just some moments to, if I could, take this sermon and have it be more geared toward our youth. So if you're a youth this morning or just feeling young at heart, this sermon is kind of a conversation, not as your pastor, not as an adult, but really as your friend. And the rest of you can overhear what it is that I have to tell our youth this morning. I want to start by telling a story, if I could. It's a story that's not true. I'll tell you right up front, this is a made-up story, but in reality, it's got some really important truths in it. And it's a story that takes place in a land far away, long, long ago, about an emperor who realized that he was getting up in his years and knew that he had to one day select someone to succeed him as the new emperor. And he decided an amazing thing, that the new emperor would be a youth, just like you guys. So what he did was he declared to the kingdom, "Have all of the youth gather in the great hall, and I will make an announcement." And they gathered together, and he said to the youth, "There will be a new emperor, and one of you will be that new emperor." You can imagine the incredible joy and ecstasy among all those youth who were gathered in the great hall wondering if it would be them. And the emperor said, "This is how I'm going to select the new emperor. I'm going to give each of you a seed, not unlike this one. And I want you to take this seed and put it in a pot and take care of it for a whole year. In a year, I'll ask all the youth to come back to this great hall and we will take a look at who has the best plants from this seed. And the one who has the best plants will be the next emperor." So the youth all went home with their seed, and including this one young boy named Ling. Ling took his seed and went home to his mother, and his mother showed him how to take care of this seed, planting it in a pot with some good dirt, watering it every day, making sure it has plenty of sunlight, a pot like this one. And there Ling sat this pot on his windowsill and just watched for a week, and nothing grew. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, and this little pot of dirt stayed a pot of dirt. The seed didn't grow. For a whole year, he tried to get this seed to sprout into something. In the meantime, all of his friends were asking Ling, "How's the planting going?" And they were bragging about, just after 3 weeks, all of his friends had plants that were a foot high, 2 feet high. You've heard people brag about that stuff before. Ling was starting to be very, very disturbed by this, because the time of the great assembly would come in just a few weeks, and he had nothing but a pot of dirt and nothing to show for it. He debated one day to go get himself a big plant. But his mother taught him honesty, taught him integrity, told him to tell the truth. And so Ling reluctantly went to that great assembly with all of his friends and all of their plants with nothing but a pot of dirt. And on the great day, the emperor arrived with all the youth assembled in the great hall, and the emperor greeted each youth and took a look at all of the plants. He said he was amazed at some of the beauty and the height that some of these plants had gotten. But Ling took his little pot and he went to hide in the corner away from the emperor. He laid it on the floor and kind of covered it with some things, but in the meantime, his friends were laughing at him. "Huh, look at your sorry little plant. Surely you won't win." The emperor went to the front of the great hall and said, "I am amazed at all the beauty of these plants. One of you will be the emperor." And at that moment, he spotted Ling cowering in the corner with his pot of dirt. And he saw him and he said, "Guards, bring that young man to me." Ling cowered in fear. "Oh, great. I wasn't a good steward of the emperor's seed. He's going to kill me now. This is going to be awful." The guards brought Ling up with his pot of dirt, and the emperor sat him right up on top of the stage, and he said to everyone in the room, "Behold, this is your new emperor." And all the youth were amazed. "Why, Ling?" The emperor said, "A year ago I gave you seeds that I had boiled and killed. Not a one of you had a seed that was able to grow into anything. Yet Ling was the only one with the honesty and integrity to tell me the truth. The rest of you brought in counterfeit plants. This is the young man that I want to lead this country. Now, you young people aren't stupid. You know the point of the story. The point of the story is honesty and integrity. But I want to take it to a different level, because I believe that each one of you young people this morning have been given a little seed by God. And unlike the seed in the story, this seed isn't dead. It's very alive. And there will be many temptations in your lives to take that seed that God has given you and trade it in for a seed that the world wants to give you. And what temptations that will bring. This seed that's in you of peace and love and compassion and service and joy, the world will try to trade in for seeds of rebellion and strife and hatred and intolerance and lackadaisical attitude and laziness. That's not the seed that you want. Every moment of your life, there will be a temptation for you to trade it all in. But do as Ling did and stay with what God has given you. I want to illustrate this with a little imagining. Could you do something for me? Imagine in your minds the ideal place for you to spend a vacation. Whether it be Disney World or the mountains or the lake or whatever. Just think about the place that you would love to be right now instead of right here. Now imagine yourself in a car by yourself. You're driving. I know some of you can't drive yet, but imagine that you're driving. And think in your minds about all the joy that is in your mind because you're free, you can make your own choices now, and you're headed toward a place that you want to go, all by yourself. You're driving along the interstate or the highway or whatever road that you're taking to get to that destination, and I want to suggest something to you. That every mile on this journey toward your destination, there is a fork in the road. Not just one. But every mile, there is a fork in the road, a choice that you have to make to go left or to go right. The decision is yours. I want to propose to you that that is what being an adult is all about. For those of us who know, we know that life is full of choices, one right after another. Some of them trivial, some of them burdensome and heavy and hard to handle. And it does seem sometimes, young people, like every single moment there's a new choice to make. And I want to say to you that that's what life is. That there is a path that God has for you to take, and there is another path every moment that the world wants you to take. It is not easy to be an adult. God has a prescribed path for you to follow. And so the question that you might be wondering in your minds is, how do I know what path to take? How do I know when to go left or when to go right? How do I know which way God wants me to go? And I want to say three brief things to you. The first is, remember your destination. All of you are different. All of you will have different vocations, different families. You'll live in different places in the world. But God has us all going to the same place. We are all going to the place to be the people that God wants us to be. John Wesley called it moving on to perfection. If you know where you're going, that will help you decide how to get there. And I want to say to you that where you are going is to be the place, to be the people that God wants you to be. Do everything you can every moment to be what God wants you to be. The second thing is, remember that other people have walked this path before you. No matter what you do in life, remember God has been through it before with other people. And nothing you will ever go through in life will ever be new to God. And so build strong relationships with people that you trust. Build rock-solid bridges with members of your family. Remember that the church is always here for you. Remember that this journey, you are not alone, either now or ever. because people have walked your shoes before and learned to get the trusted advice of people that you can trust. The third thing, the final thing, is never do anything to trade in your God-given potential. Remember that little seed that God has given you deep down inside that God wants you to cultivate. That potential that you have, that God has given you, be good stewards of that, and don't do anything ever to trade in that potential for anything the world has to offer you. And don't do anything to compromise the potential of goodness and of godliness that God has given to you. This is a replica of a $20 bill. It's not a real one. I probably got in trouble for photocopying one, but nevertheless, this is a $20 bill. And it's supposed to be a $20 bill. And you know that even in this day and age, a $20 bill can certainly buy a lot. For those of you who have had 20s before, you know that you could purchase a nice piece of clothing for yourself, or you could buy some food for yourself, or even spend a nice time at the movies with a friend or two.
Or three Star Wars.
Or three Star Wars toys, as I learned in the past week, yes. But a $20 bill also has value for other people. You know that this same 20 could be used to buy some groceries or some food for someone who doesn't have any. Or it could be given to a charitable organization like a refuge house or some place that deals with people who are down on their luck. Or it could be put in an offering plate for a missionary and used to proclaim God's word to people who have not yet heard it or believed it. A $20 bill, even today, has a lot of power, has a lot of value. I want to suggest to you that your lives are $20 bills. That each and every one of you young people has the value within you that God has given you to do some great things for people around the world, to do some great things for God. Wouldn't it be a shame if this $20 bill happened to come across a flame? And just a little bit of flame were to touch a part of this 20. How sad it would be to watch this flame consume even just a part of this bill. Now look at it. It's still smoking. It's not as pretty as it was before. It's certainly not as valuable. What happens when we let the value and the potential that God has given to us touch the flames that the world has for us? Even just giving in a little bit, we watch the value and the potential of our lives burn away. Now notice what happens. The bill is partially burned, and when I just touch it just even a little bit, because it has already been burned, it's easier for the flame to touch it again and consume even more of it. If I were to let this go, eventually less than half of this 20 would be remaining. And I want to suggest to you that this is a sad situation indeed. Loved ones, young people, don't ever let the value that God has given to you touch the flames of an anti-God world. Don't let the flames of this world ever burn God's value away from you. You are each uniquely gifted, and you each have a responsibility to protect the value that God has put in you. And don't ever let the flames of this world burn that away. Remember your destination. Remember where you are going. Remember that others have walked that path before you. And remember to protect your potential, to protect the value that God has placed inside each one of you. And remember that the church will always be here for you. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen. Our final hymn is a hymn of commitment found in